Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, McFarland Energy, thank you so much for launching us into 2023 after carrying us through 2022. We are honored, we are privileged, and we are feeling pretty good about things. We're feeling really, really, really good about things because you know why? We've copyrighted the trademark. Who says no? Did we get that? Legal team? No? Yes?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, okay.
But you have to tweet it from your account.
TM. Well, once I find the TM emoji, I'll be all set.
You get it going from your account. We see what happens, and that'll really tell us how things are.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, if you see someone else use it, let's sue them. Okay. Is that fair?
Fair.
All right. Well, we got the whole cast of characters here. The whole cast of characters, Sammy, Gordo, Pat, everybody, and Coop, of course. So let's get to it, man. Let's get to it because – you know, we had the privilege or the fun of doing Who Says No all these weeks, and we could pick any team that we wanted. We could pick any trade that we wanted, and they were absolutely – we're still pitching a perfect game when it comes to trade proposals. The fax machine in Heim Bloom's office is running out of paper, all these proposals. But now we're sort of – we're testing you guys. Ready? Okay. This is the next test. This is like the obstacle course. Here comes the wall. You have one team trading with the Red Sox, and that is the Miami Marlins, formerly known as Derek Jeter's team, formerly known as a team that people cared about that way back when Josh Beckett pitched for them. But, all right, so there's been some rumblings about the Red Sox perhaps trading with the Miami Marlins. I think Alex Spira report today said, don't get your hopes up with Tristan Cassis. I don't care. I'll just say this for right now. If you guys have a trade involving Tristan Cassis, then that is allowed. That is absolutely allowed. Nothing's off the table because we can't just say, oh, well, they have no interest. They have no intention. That's not how this works. Nope. How this works is everything's on the table. The spicier, the better. So let's go. All right, Coop, spin the wheel of people. Let's go. I can't hear you, Coop.
I wasn't sure we needed a wheel to go first, but I'm just going to go clockwise on my screen. So Gordo, hit us with your first trade.
All right, let's do it. Marlins are the funnest team to do these for, but and I know you said Marlins, Bradford, but I brought in a third team here. We're getting complex.
That's okay, the first
in Who Says No history, if I'm not mistaken, on the Bradford show.
It is.
So, okay, I've got coming to the Red Sox. Edward Cabrera, Miguel Rojas, and from the San Diego Padres, Austin Nola. You might want to get a pad and paper to write these down. It's getting complex. So we got Cabrera, Rojas, and Austin Nola. The Marlins are going to receive from the Red Sox, Alex Verdugo, Reese McGuire, and Bobby Dalbec. And from the Padres, they're going to get Ha-Sung Kim. And then the Padres are going to get Tanner Houck from the Red Sox and Jacob Stallings from the Padres. So I've got these all written out, like what the Marlins do and what the Red Sox do individually. But I can give you solid reasoning for all of it. So the Red Sox get their high upside controllable starter in Cabrera.
Wait a second. This is, by the way, do you guys see the movie A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe? This is basically like Russell Crowe staring at the window full of equations and saying, I can give you solid reasoning for all this. I'm just like, what? Anyway, continue. I don't mean to interrupt. The clouds are going to part and I'm going to understand this. Go ahead.
No, this is good. The listeners are going to have time to get their notes out. So we got the Red Sox getting the young, controllable, high upside starter in Cabrera. They get to fill their shortstop hole with a stopgap. Miguel Rojas has 1 year control, and they get an upgrade at catcher in Austin Nola and a guy that they have been after in the past, at least according to reports. They've been open to dealing Hauken Verdugo, and we've heard trade rumblings with Bobby Dalbec. And I know that there's obviously going to be the question of what do they do with the Verdugo outfield spot that's going to open up a spot. There are still guys on the free agent market that can give you similar production. A couple guys that come to mind are AJ Pollock and Adam Duvall. For the Marlins, they've got like 9 potential ace caliber starting pitchers. Like, they're going to deal multiple of these guys. And Cabrera, I think, has been the one that's come up in talks the most. And in return for that, the reports are that they want major league talent to upgrade their roster this year. And while I kind of question the merit of that, if that's what they want, Kim is an upgrade over Rojas. Verdugo is a real outfield upgrade. Reese McGuire over Stallings is an upgrade. And getting Bobby Dalbec, it's a dart throw with Dalbec. Maybe he pans out there. We don't know. And so they don't get a blue chip guy, but they get upgrades all across the roster and upside all over the place for just one of their 9 potential ace caliber pitchers.
Who's, before we go on, so who's playing right field for the Red Sox now?
I've got them signing a free agent.
Oh, you got AJ Pollock. Okay, that's the Pollock. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so in synopsis, from the Red Sox point of view, you've given up Hauk, you've given up Dalbec, you've given up Verdugo, and someone else? Am I missing someone?
McGuire.
And you're getting back Kim, you're getting back Nola, you're getting back
Not Kim. Oh. You're getting back Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera.
Cabrera, Rojas, and Nola.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Well, I'll let you guys go. Go ahead. Who wants to go?
I can jump in. I actually really like this one. I don't really care what happens with the Padres, but with the Red Sox, it's Cabrera, Rojas, Nola. That's awesome. 2 holes that they need to be filled are instantly filled. And I don't love Rojas. At least, though, you have the defensive upside. So it's not like you're putting a nobody. Like, love this guy too, but it's true. Jose Iglesias, nothing. He adds nothing for you. At least with the weak bat, Rojas provides defense. And then Nola, I was in the midst of looking him up. Not the greatest ever. I don't know how his defense looks, but, you know, not a big deal. What I'm really focused on right here is we got a shortstop. And we get Cabrera. So I like it. Also, Verdugo, good player. Definitely someone that I could see going. Fine. McGuire, fine. Bobby. And then Hauk, I kind of see as just a relief pitcher, a fancy relief pitcher. So I really like this. This is one of my favorite ones I've heard on Who Says No. I think it's fairly realistic, although those 3-team trades, good luck predicting those. But I like this one a lot. I could – Sign me up. Do it.
I like, by the way, Hauk is not a closer, not a starter. He's a fancy relief pitcher.
I mean, that's what he is. He's a guy that we're like, all right, this guy's coming up. He's got a nasty sweeping slider, slurve type pitch. He throws mid to high 90s fastball. He's working on a third pitch. He's a starter. Okay, he's not a starter. Now he's our closer. Okay, maybe he's not our closer. He's a fancy reliever.
He's a fancy relief pitcher. I like that.
If there's any GMs from other teams listening to this, he's a starter and a front end starter. So,
well, I think that in the market, fancy relief pitchers cost a lot more than it costs a little bit more than a closer, but less than a starter. That's what a fancy relief pitcher is.
Okay.
Pat, what do you got? You like this one?
Yeah, I'm trying to do the mental gymnastics to keep up with a 3-team trade. But, you know, I definitely like this one. I think Hauk is pretty expandable. I think that's been kind of known. And I think this kind of like a a mirage going on with like them kind of saying like, oh, like Houck might be in the rotation, like we're going to stretch him out. I think it could be kind of a little bit of a ploy to maybe build up some trade value. But in terms of what we're getting back, like middle infield's a mess right now. Rojas is a stopgap there. I'm not huge on Nola, but you're not really giving up anything substantial that like would warrant like a real risk there, especially if Reese McGuire doesn't hit 350 like he did after the deadline last year. So it definitely gives you some shortstop or backstop insurance. But I don't know. I think overall, I think I'm a fan of it. And like the Marlins, I can't even remember a team recently that has had like more of a surplus of like top tier starting pitching, but zero bats to go along with it. So from their end, I think there's enough of a return there to warrant them giving up one of those arms. So I don't know. I don't think any of the three teams really say no here, especially with the Padres having some arms that are going to be free agents next year. Houck, controllable guy. Like if he pans out, he pans out. You solve that. You solve that problem.
How can we get Jazz Chisholm in the trade? Right, Coop? Right, correct.
That's all I need. That's what I was going to say. If we left this whole thing without Jazz Chisholm on the Red Sox, it was a waste of time.
I will say this: do we have this documented, Coop? I think that
we are recording a podcast. It's very well documented.
Yeah, but I don't know if we've been writing stuff down throughout, not for this one, but for the whole time we've been doing Who Says No. Alex Verdugo may be the winner in most involvement in trade proposals. So do you think that's accurate?
I think we did our first episode, or it was the first roundtable where everyone wanted to get rid of him. But every time everyone was just complimenting him, saying like, oh, he's the centerpiece of this trade. And it's just kind of like, man, you were the centerpiece of, or not the centerpiece, but you were the main part of that Mookie Betts trade. And now everyone wants to make you the centerpiece of a whatever else trade. So he's the belle of the ball, but also the ugliest girl in the grade. So
that was the episode we said Verdugo was generally a fan favorite, right? We coming up with the ball, yes. Chris?
Yeah.
All these things getting tagged on guys. Fancy reliever, generally a favorite. I don't even know what to make of that. But Verdugo,
we're GMs. We're trying to dress up our guys that we want to get rid of.
Can you imagine? All right, we'll trade you Alec Verdugo. He's generally a favorite. Listen, I mean, it is weird because I remember that. We should do, by the way, our next one should be an Alex Verdugo only trade, Who Says No, which is kind of what every episode is anyway. But it was going from the, you mentioned Alex Verdugo, to now we do this, like, yeah, of course, and we're going to include Alex Verdugo because that's what we do.
You're an idiot if you don't include Alex Verdugo at this point. Are you not trying to make your team better?
I mean, but here's the problem. There's a reason why you have to include Alex Verdugo in every trade. Because unless you're going to trade like these prospects, you know they aren't going to trade. You have to trade something. And oh yeah, Alex Verdugo. Yeah, he's generally
fits the Miami lifestyle.
Yeah,
yes, he's a good fit. If anything, we're trying to give him a better life. Like you don't want to live in Boston, man. We know it.
Nah, yeah, we're here for you, Alex. All right, that's a good one, girl. Congratulations, that was a good one. That made us all test our brains.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's hard. It's hard to put together these trades when your best trade chip is Tanner Houck, but the Marlins surplus is their pitching. You got to get creative.
It's like harder than a Rubik's Cube. It's awesome. Excellent job. All right, spin the wheel of people, Coop.
So we now have Pat up.
All right. I'm in a little bit of a conundrum. I feel like both of my packages are a variant of Gordo's three-team monster trade. But I like this one more, so we're going to run with this one. So the Marlins get Sidan Rafaela, Nick York, and Edison Paulino, and the Red Sox get Edward Cabrera and Steven Okert. Kind of along the same lines as Gordo, we know the Marlins have a incredible surplus of like top-tier arms. And not even like potential arms, like established good arms, probably a good six, which is like unheard of. And what is known as all they want back in return is bats, because they really don't have any young bats outside of Jazz Chisholm. So the thought process here is you get Sidan Rafaela, who should be major league bound at some point this year, gives you some flexibility. He can kind of play all over the place. Known for his glove, but has shown some pop in the minors. That should appeal the Marlins, especially because he's so athletic and kind of play everywhere. Nick York is the kind of a prospect that has had a little bit of a fall from grace, but he had a good fall league. He's still super young, middle of the infield guy. And there were rumors last year that the Marlins might have been looking to trade Chisholm, especially if they get Nick York. That makes that even more possible. Maybe they flip him for another bat, an older outfield bat, or something like that. And then Paulino's a nice little throw-in, top 10 or 12 in the Sox farm rankings, another high upside bat. For the Red Sox, you get Cabrera, who has absolutely electric stuff, probably a number one to two in a couple of years for most rotations. Pairing him with Bayo is a dream. That would be so fun to watch firsthand, just having two young studs who are controllable. We know Heim loves a cheap contract. That'd be awesome. And then you get Steven Okert, who's a little bit older. I think he's 31. Last 3 years, reliever, sub 3 ERA. Just seems to be a dependable guy. And the big thing is lefty. Right now, the Sox, I think the only lefties in the pen are Darwinson and Joely Rodriguez.
Josh Taylor.
So getting an established left arm who has that kind of resume, three back-to-back-to-back years of pretty much dominance, sub 3. Trading away some surplus in terms of prospect, I think that makes sense for both sides. What do you guys think?
That's a good one. By the way, before you guys respond, I want to know, was Tristan Casas in any of your trade proposals before like 2 o'clock today?
Yep. Just wait.
Okay. Sammy. Sorry. All right. Good. I'm glad we weren't scared off, because you never know until you know. All right, anyway, Gordo, what do you got?
Okay, so hold on. It was Rafael York, Paulino for Cabrera and Okert?
Yep.
All right, so this is interesting, because this is something that I would do if I'm the Red Sox, but it's interesting because I think they might be able to get Cabrera for less. I was looking a little bit into where he historically ranked in some of the rankings, and he was kind of always in like the 50 to 100 range, and that's kind of where Rafael is. Personally, I would have neither saying no to this. I think Cabrera is an absolute beast. I've been a fan of his since I discovered him on MLB The Show. Anyone who played last game, oh my God. But yeah, I if I'm the Red Sox and this is what it takes to get Cabrera, I do it. And if I'm the Marlins, I'm doing jumping jacks to do this. So
in other words, in synopsis, you agree. This is getting faxed over. It's fair trade.
I think that if you're making a two-team trade, Sox and Marlins, and one of their young starting pitchers, maybe that's not Braxton Garrett, is coming back, I think it starts with Rafaela.
I like how Gordo played that. If you're making a simplistic two-team trade, you know,
if you're a simpleton and don't do a three-team trade, this is likely.
Well, yeah, because you can't have Houck in there, and you probably can't have Casas in there unless you're getting a little more creative.
I'm making a four team trade where I'm trading Verdugo three times in it next week. all right, Sammy, what do you got?
I think the simplistic trade is actually pretty interesting. It's interesting for a few reasons. I love the return for the Red Sox. Exactly what they need. Feels. Two of the three glaring holes they have, I would say shortstop, right field, and a left-handed bullpen arm, unless Josh Taylor's healthy. This fills two of them. And it's also the Red Sox trading from a position of strength. They have a lot of middle infield help in the minors, plus Story at second base. So Paulino is a bit expendable. Rafael, a great prospect. We've gone over him a million times. Don't need to do it again. I think we all understand who he is. The interesting part is York. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, whenever I do these mock trades, I tend to include York, mostly because I'm always wary of those one tool guys. Like when pretty much all the value is tied to his hit tool, it's a little, you know, iffy. That being said, I think he makes a lot more sense in a 5-player trade like this rather than a 1-for-1 or something like that. So yeah, this is another one I like. I don't know too much about Okert other than it looks like he's been consistent as a low leverage, but still major league left-handed reliever. So yeah, I like this one. I would just hope that, nothing you can really do about this, but it looks to me like one of those trades in like 4 or 5 years, we're going to look back and be like, man, we gave up a lot for Cabrera, but you can't really worry about that when you're in a position that the Red Sox are.
It's called the San Diego Espinal. I will say this about Nick York. I do not think he's going to be traded, and here's the reason why. Not because the Red Sox wouldn't trade him, although maybe they wouldn't because, you know, he was Heim's first round pick and so forth and so on. But because I think that teams have to see him prove that his wrist problems aren't wrist problems. In other words, you know, he had wrist problems in this year, then they cropped back up in the fall league. So, you know, and I'm not saying it's a serious thing, but, you know, those things can, as you guys know, you know, if you have a wrist problem, it's a problem. So, you know, so that's my two cents about Nick York.
They definitely be selling low. I agree with you there.
Yeah. But, you know, it's sort of, I've said this, I've used this analogy before, where the NFL teams, when they get guys and like this guy did nothing in college, but no, he was a 5-star recruit in high school. They chart when a guy like Nick York, he's a 1st-round pick. And how many times have we seen this with the Red Sox picking guys off the scrap heap and we get to throw in the headline, Red Sox get former 1st-round pick? You know, there's something there.
Well, I would counter that. I heard on Sox Prospects' most recent episode, they were saying that guys from the COVID year, which I believe York was one of the COVID year drafts,
right? It was York. It was Blaze Jordan. It was Shane Drohan. It was Jeremy Yu Yellen. Yeah. Am I forgetting one? Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I'll be vague because I don't want to misquote them. But they were saying that a lot of GMs will, like, in their head or on paper, tag these guys as COVID year guys, as in, like, they have a different developmental path, I guess you could say. So I don't know how that affects it. But I was listening to that today right before I got on here, and I was kind of like, you know, just interested. I wonder if that's good or bad. I think I would guess bad. I can't imagine why it would be good. But that's my only retort to the first round pick kind of tag.
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, he wasn't thought to be a first round pick. A lot of people feel like he was a first round pick because they were saving the money for Blaze Jordan. Second of all, you remember, like, he went to the alternate camp in Pawtucket, did really well. We have the images of him getting hit off Mata and so forth and so on. Then he goes to spring training and is really, really good. He plays in a crap load of major league games. You know, and we could say, oh, it was a year ago. He was pinning a corsage on his prom date, blah, 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 blah. And so he does really well. But then this last year, then he has some wrist problems. And last year, you know, sort of underproduces, and he has some physical issues. I think he can still be a good player, but we're just looking at, to your point, I mean, I think it's sort of those guys, you don't have a straight line developmental thing. Anyway, it's a good trade. It's a good trade. So we're just picking through it. So anyway, all right. You got anything else, Coop?
No, it's just a good trade. No, I'm a fan of it, but I actually, I'm still thinking about the 3-team trade. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually, my brain's working, and I would like to at some point see someone try and manipulate a trade that involves every team in the MLB. That is what I want. I just want pure chaos. Yes. I want to see how that would work out, if it's possible.
Oh, man. That's a challenge. I can see all three of you guys. The wheels turn.
We'll workshop it. Each. Let's get together.
I think it would be beautiful. Whatever comes out on the other side of that, it would be a monstrosity, but it would be like our monstrosity.
The winner gets to cover the WBC with Coop.
Each of us takes 10 teams, and we just connect the dots later on.
Yes. Yeah, excellent. With yarn.
Yeah, it'd be like the Charlie Day conspiracy theory meme.
All right, Sam, you're last up. Let's go. Don't let us down.
All right. This is what you asked for. So I got Red Sox are trading Tristan Casas, who Dan Shaughnessy hates, and Wickelman Gonzalez to the Marlins for Yuri Perez and Garrett Cooper. Now, don't freak out. I know those are probably weird names. Like, who are they? Well, you guys probably know, but listeners, don't freak out. This is a massive massive prospect trade. Perez is the 9th overall prospect per pipeline in Major League Baseball, and he's the 2nd among right-handed pitchers behind Grayson Rodriguez, I believe is his name, Orioles.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Casas 25th ranked overall, partially because first baseman, their value gets cut. And he's the top ranked first baseman. And then the other two guys are pretty much just replacements. Cooper, who somehow made the All-Star team this year. He's just the replacement for Casas. And then Wickelman Gonzalez replaces Yuri Perez, just some starting pitcher depth for them. And I think this makes sense because we've alluded to this multiple times already. Red Sox are great at developing bats, Betts, Bogarts, Devers, blah, blah, blah. There's a million of them. And the Marlins are great at developing pitching. Conversely, Marlins are not great at developing bats. They're okay. And the Red Sox, especially in recent years, have been just bad at developing pitchers. So Perez and Cooper to Boston, Casas and Wickelman Gonzalez to Miami in a 4-player, fairly simplistic deal.
Well, thank you for including Tristan Casas in the trade. I appreciate that. All right, what do you guys got? Gordo, why don't you go first?
Oh, man, this is spicy. I love Yuri Perez. Dude, he's only 19, but he's already in Double A, and he is going to be a stud. This is one of those deals that, like, I love it, and I bet both of them just get cold feet and say no. But, oh, man, Yuri Perez is that guy. The only issue that I have with it is I feel like the Red Sox, from a PR standpoint, are pretty consciously trying to send the message, or at least be able to attempt to send the message that they're going to try and compete this year. And trading Casas for a guy who is not likely to touch the major league roster this year might be something they don't feel comfortable doing. But from a value standpoint, Yuri Perez is a stud. If I'm Miami, I might want to hold off on dealing him unless I could get Marcelo Meyer. But, oh, Yuri Perez. I thought all day about how I could get that guy on the Red Sox.
I'm not clear. Do you like Yuri Perez? Is that?
Oh, I love him. He is something.
All right, Pat, what do you think?
It's so juicy on paper. Like here in Casas, you could probably play this back and see me physically cringe. It hurt. But the trade itself, I think, makes a lot of sense in the terms, kind of like Gordo was saying, is like Sox can't develop pitching. Marlins can't develop bats. In that essence, this trade makes perfect sense. I will say, I think if I'm giving up Casas, I want at least a guy who's been major league level so you can see how his stuff plays at the big leagues. But like, it's a hard one to do because like if you go for a Pablo Lopez, you get 2 years of control for 6 years of Casas plus. But then if you go for like an Eduardo Cabrera, that's not really a big enough name. But on paper, like just point blank, do I like the idea of trading out Casas for another top 10 guy who is a starting pitching and who would thrive in Boston alongside like Bayo? Yes. So I guess I'm not saying no to either side. It just hurts. I'm just trying to logically go through it.
That's where I'm at too.
Can you imagine Perez and Bayo atop that rotation for the next 2 years? No, I'm just kidding. For the next 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. Thinking of it, those two guys up top, Bayo's what, 23?
Yeah, something like very.
And Yuri Perez is
retirement to play first. It'll be all magical.
Yeah, but yeah, those two guys like 3-4 years from now, Bayo's 27, Yuri Perez is 23, and they're just a two-headed monster. Like that'd be awesome.
I appreciate you guys talking about Perez. Every time I do a trade like this on Twitter, and it's like two big names and then some throw-ins. The only thing people talk about is the throw-ins, and they're like, I don't know about Cooper. I'm like, that's not the point. The point is to get Perez. But yeah, one reason I did this, and I know Perez is like, you do not trade a guy like that. The one team I could see doing that is the Marlins. I mean, they got what? They got Sandy Alcantara, who's like, good luck even trying against him. They got Cabrera. They got Lopez for another 2 years. They got Braxton Garrett. They got Gordo, your guy. They got Sixto Sanchez.
Who's just about to bring him up.
Can I tell you a story about Sixto Sanchez?
Hit it.
That, please.
So in 2020, when we were starved for to write about things, I think this one might have been one of the first Who Says No that I actually put in print. And it was leading into that season. It like so at whatever in July. Go it's worth a Google. And the Who Says No. Who says no? JD Martinez for Sixto Sanchez. Now, remember, JD Martinez, Southern Florida, South Florida. He also wasn't having he wasn't coming off like a terrible year. Well, actually he was. He was heading into a terrible year. That's right. 2020. So he wasn't coming off a terrible year. He had a couple more years of control on his contract. But I got dragged so bad because Sixto Sanchez at that time was the be-all, end-all. I mean, he might as well have been Justin Verlander in everybody's eyes. So I stand by it. It sure looked really, 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 really bad in September of 2020 when JD Martinez was horrible and Sixto Sanchez was, like, really good. But anyway, I will always hold a dear spot in my heart for Sixto Sanchez. So anyway, you can continue about Sixto if you like.
I'm right there with you, Bradfo. I will always have a special place in my heart for Sixto Sanchez. He's only 24. It feels like he's like been on the borderline of like ready to break out, but he keeps getting hurt for years. But actually, he's younger than Edward Cabrera. He's younger than Trevor Rogers. I think he's the youngest guy that the Marlins have besides Perez and maybe Max Meyer. Yeah. So he's got time. He's got the full 6 years of control. Like he's got plenty of time to break out and be that guy.
Gordo, by the way, Max Meyer, who is Trevor Rogers, and then another one I forgot.
Lizardo.
Jesus Lizardo. Yeah, I mean, they can trade Perez. Come on, you got no bats. Casas is like gets on base, hits dingers. What do you want? And he's from there, right? He's from the.
Yeah, he is. He's from Fort Lauderdale area. But here's the thing about Casas is that if you were going to pick one guy who like the future of this whole plan, this master plan hinges on, it's kind of him. Maybe you could make a case for Marcelo Meyer, but with Casas, you're saying this is the guy who's going to hit his home runs. This is a guy who's going to play first base. What we thought Bobby Dalbec was going to play like 80% of the time. This is the guy who's going to be the star. And I'm not only saying because of the production that they need from him, but also the trades that they're turning down possibly for him. So you're putting the eggs in the basket of Tristan Casas. And yeah, sure, he has promise. There's no question about it. But not to go all Shaughnessy on you, but you know, you obviously didn't see a ton like what you probably wanted to see in his first go around, which is unfair to him. And, you know, he has some physical issues. What I'm saying is that there's no slam dunk, but they need this to be a slam dunk because if no other reason, when you're turning down these trades, then you better make sure the guy's good. I know Coop loves him because he talked about getting a fire truck behind his ear, but yes, anyway.
Not just that, but he visualized his first home run being against Garrett Cole. So that, you had someone that bets on themselves like that.
Listen, that was the best spur of the moment podcast of 2022. Not even close.
I mean, we should thank we were supposed to do it with Eric Hosmer. Yeah, so we should thank him just for that opportunity.
Absolutely. It would have been the Casas podcast was like three times as good. No disrespect to the Hosmers. But yeah, we formed a bond with Tristan Casas over 20 minutes of unexpected conversation.
So there you go. So are we out on the trade then? Do we want to keep Casas? Personal profit. We have to look at it this way.
I think if that's the problem is that you've sort of painted yourself in a corner and positionally with Casas. And I think, you know, that's what you have to do. Like, obviously, you guys like yourself some Yuri, but I'm telling you, it's they probably think we can get by with the pitching we have, but we can't get by without what we hope that Tristan Casas is going to be. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel. Good trade, though.
Hey, excellent. Rob, also, Gordo brought up a good point. He referenced the Red Sox PR, how it would be bad PR. And as you know, I work in PR for a very, very different sports media platform. So I'm just kind of thinking, like, do they care about the fan perception? Because to me, it seems like half the time they don't care. Like, they're trading Renfro, they're trading Mookie. But then at the trade deadline last year, we heard all these rumblings, like, and, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if this was all BS, but we heard the, like, you know, they didn't want to give up because they didn't want to signal the white flag to the fan base, pal. Like, you know that. So I'm just a little confused. Like, to me, or I'm someone who works in that field, the PR messaging, I guess the way I would frame it is it's a little, like, inconsistent. And I know, like, it's not Heim Bloom and the front office's job to be PR guys, but I don't know. I just wanted to see, like, does that matter? Do they care?
I think there's two levels of caring. So the caring to the point of where it impacts what you're going to do, I haven't seen that yet, which honestly, it surprises me, because that level is the ownership coming in and saying, we're unloading the piggy bank, no matter what Bogarts wants, no matter what Devers wants, pay him. And that just hasn't been the case. So I don't think that level, the caring has impacted how Heim Bloom has done things or now they have done things. But the other level of it is the words, which mean nothing. And the words, what I mean, and like the day that Bogart signed, we've talked about this. Leading into that day, you had all these leaks about, oh, there's traction and blah, blah, blah. Like, what do they expect to sell? Like, how many tickets do they expect to sell in that 18 hours? I don't know. But like, why do you even leak that stuff out? Why do you do that? And why do you do all the stuff that you did before? Because you want people, you want to give that perception on your side, but it's all a mirage. It doesn't matter until we see the money come from the owners, where they say they do what they used to do. So we're not going to lose out on this guy. Then to answer your question, the public perception isn't impacting what they do. It isn't. I mean, I think that they've dug in on that pretty good now. So.
So yeah. Then would you just say the trade deadline mm-hmm. was kind of like they messed up, I guess?
I would say the trade deadline was playing field position, right, Coop? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we want to use that line, I mean, that's...
I thought it was a great line. I don't know if you guys saw that, Matt Strom. So
yeah,
the Matt Strom played field position and Tom Brady came in the game. That was great. I mean, that's, but when even before he says that, what his guttural reaction was, do we still know what we did? And I don't think it had to do, I don't think what Heim Bloom did had to do with public perception, as it, I think he just get caught in, much like you get caught not having a PR person down in Houston. I think you get caught in trying to play both sides of the fence at the trade deadline when he shouldn't have.
Here's a quick question for you guys involving trades and trade deadlines. Do you think Heim makes the trade that Theo makes in 2004 at the deadline, moving Nomar?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Yeah, is that a move that you can see Heim doing?
Yeah, what was the full trade? It was Nomar,
Doug Mankiewicz, and Orlando Cabrera.
I think the answer is
that's like a tough, like that's a tough hypothetical, because it's like Heim hasn't won a World Series off of something like that, or he hasn't won a World Series at all yet. But isn't that like a penny pinching, not penny pinching, but moving like a a big star,
yeah, an iconic guy.
Yeah,
I think like just that trade was subtly the ballsiest trade that you'll ever see. I mean, paid maybe off. Not even subtly. It's crazy looking back at how ballsy that trade was.
Crazy. Talk about PR. Holy crap. You haven't won in 86 years and you get rid of Nomar.
But here's the difference is that, first of all, Nomar wasn't at that point, he was sort of the surliness was starting to creep up. And also they were a good team and they had a ton of good players on that team. You know, so that's one of the things when we talk about this team. When you keep letting guys go, well, it's not like you have a bunch of guys on the roster that people are going to come see play. That's the difference. And here's another one. And I always thought this one, not that was a good one, Coop. But the other one I thought of was Mookie Betts. So you go into that trade deadline the year before they end up dealing Mookie. And I know they talked about trading Mookie and they never did. But that's the most value. So Dave Dombrowski holds on to Mookie because he's still trying to win. But does Chaim Bloom trade Mookie Betts back then? I don't know. I mean, it was off of what he went in the trade deadline? Probably not. But who knows?
I think he might. The only thing that I would say restricts this is going back to the whole PR thing is I think ownership might get in the way of that.
Well, I think that's honestly, I think that's what stepped in. I think that we talk about the public perception. I think in that case, absolutely. And here's the thing, Sammy, that you asked about the public perception impacting. We're going to find out with Devers. Exactly. Pay Devers. Well, they did. Right. There you go. I love everyone.
Somewhat.
They're getting very excited over the 1 year contract.
Absolutely ruined my day.
It did it? Why?
Oh, God. My heart dropped. I was like, fine.
The first two lines, it was the view of the tweet. The first two lines, it was like the Red Sox and Rafael Devers have agreed to A, and then you see nothing else. And oh my God, I was eating lunch. I wanted to throw up.
Roll it over. I saw that tweet. It was like literally like dancing in bed and then finished the tweet and just like threw my phone down, like wipe my eyes. I was like, I hate this.
That's
we got three good reactions. What was your reaction?
I was running the Twitch stream for WEEI, so go subscribe to that because my performance is based.
You know what I heard? I was listening to after they did that. I was listening to they went into it. You probably heard this, and Forte's reaction was,
"They didn't care.
Good timing."
What
do you want them not to trade a guy? Or sign a guy? You're not consulting the NFL.
I don't think he meant based on that. I think kind of a news dump type thing, but more so, I think probably based on the fact that he was getting booed out of his own stadium yesterday.
John has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
You don't think there was a twinge of like, hey guys, let's get this done.
Formality. It has nothing. John Henry, but believe me, he knows he's going to come around the corner. He's going to get booed tomorrow, whether he signed Rafael Devers. The Rafael Devers, you talk about public perception. You guys just said it. Like, this doesn't move the needle when it comes to the perception of John Henry.
But he can just say that I finally paid Devers.
No, they can't. It's a formality.
That would be bad PR. That would be really bad PR. Oh, my God. Fenway would ignite.
I understand the concept of, it's an arbitration year, whatever. Like, they just had to get it done. But as far as, you know, making, a big stink about it, I would imagine someone shot passing a message saying hey, this just happened, thinking that we finally cured this issue that we've been having over the last couple of years.
I don't think they set up a press conference for Rafael Devers announcing his 1 year arbitration eligible contract.
I don't know. Things have been pretty low here. We need some some positivity.
Jansen press conference.
Can you imagine how great Twitter would be that day? Oh my God. That would be the best day ever.
It'd be the best thing if you know, everything was kept under lock and key. And then all of a sudden, you get the message, you get the alert from the Red Sox Twitter that they're going live for a press conference. And you see Devers up there on stage and you're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden it's announced $17 million, 1 year. We did it.
Did they do I'll put it this way. Which did the Red Sox Instagram account make more of a big deal about? Rafael Devers signing or Rick Porcello's retirement?
Oh, Rick Porcello's retirement.
Right. I think it would be absolutely hysterical if the Red Sox Instagram or Twitter account posted a picture with like Rafi and just 17.5, and then you swipe and it's the gif of George Bush, and it's like, ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Mission accomplished up on the
dollar sign. That'd just be a perfect like a perfect troll job that would make me want to throw my phone, but it would be funny.
I mean, you guys have Photoshop skills. If that isn't happening, where like you have if you have John Henry's face or Rafael Devers' face with George Bush on the aircraft carrier with mission accomplished and back.
Do you guys remember the Red Sox Twitter tweet? The if you know, you know, with the reset key, with the tax reset. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was so bad. That's more bad PR. Well, okay. So I think we're pretty clear that they don't care about PR. We kind of just answered.
No, I mean, I think they misguidedly care about PR. I mean, it comes back. PR slash business, right? You have to sell the tickets. That's another part of this. And I've said this a million times, but there's a reason why they dropped the college ticket price packages or the packages in the middle of the Mookie Betts press conference after they trade Mookie, you know, because they're paranoid about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should be paranoid this year.
Well, honestly, if I am a fan of the Red Sox, I actually, and even as a PR person, I don't want Chaim Bloom and the guy whoever it is who's helping him with trades, since nobody actually knows or nobody can say, I don't want them caring at all about PR. I want them to do what they do and then let the PR team handle.
Yeah, you know how you get good PR, you win. But unfortunately for them is that you're going to – I think that what's going to happen, sort of like what happened in 2013, I'm saying if they actually do win – where you go back to that team, it took a long time for people to buy in on that team because the perception was you just got these, you know, a smattering of Victorinos and Napolis and Rosses and whatever. And there wasn't a lot of optimism and they start really well, but there wasn't a lot of buzz to that team. I can go back. It wasn't until end of August, really, because you had the Bruins and then you had the Hernandez deal. You know, that dominated the news cycle and people still just weren't buying it. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to take them a while for people to buy in, which is, you know, obviously, I don't know, you know, that's not good for business.
Well, the Bruins are doing pretty hot right now. So we got one check mark. I don't know.
And we aren't even talking about the Celtics. So, and then, you know, and then the Patriots have to find a new quarterback. So, and a new office coordinator.
Maybe we're trending in the right direction.
There you go. Sammy, you do PR for like fighting, right?
Yeah. Mixed martial arts, Muay Thai, kickboxing, grappling.
We should have him like talk to Joe Kelly.
Would Joe be up on that?
Oh, this is all Joe. The Joe solution to baseball is more fighting.
Well, what is he like? Does he? Because a lot of people who aren't super into the sport, they tell me that, and then they're like, "Yeah, I love John Cena," and I'm like, "No, like different."
No. But he's honestly, it would be a good conversation because he's all about because we obviously talk a lot about how to make baseball better. He's all about mixed martial arts or whatever, how they go about their publicity. Like he's all about that. When we were pitching the book to publishers, our first Zoom call, 90% of it was him talking about that. We didn't go with that.
Oh, we could talk for hours then. I don't really talk on social too much about my work. I'll like retweet us and everything, but like my 9 to 5 is like fights. So yeah.
I think it's more of just leaning in. The best way to put it is just to lean into it. That's what he's saying.
I agree. Lean into it. Even if you're the heel, at least people are watching.
Exactly.
Not the same for baseball, I would say, though.
Sometimes not so much. But hey, listen, everybody, great job. It's always good to get together with you guys. We got to get together in spring training. Everyone get on the Bradfoe Show private chat. Let's go.
Let's do it.
You have your choice. You can hang out with Coop at the WBC or me in meaningless AM radio baseball games. So, there you go.
One of them you also get to see Joe. So it's not just Rob, it's Rob and Joe. So that's,
I mean, there's a 50% chance Joe's there.
Yeah.
Or riding his bikes on the street of Fort Myers. Who is going to Winter Weekend?
I think I'm making it happen. I think there's a good shot on making it happen.
All right. How about you guys, Sammy, Pat?
Maybe we'll have to do a Bradfo show meetup.
I gotta check like prices of hotels and stuff and everything, but I want to go. My downstairs neighbor, me and him have been like plotting this, so we might go.
When is it this year?
Where?
When?
Oh, it's like the 20th, 21st.
Interesting. Yeah, I might. Like, I might.
Can we like rent like a big hotel room, Bradfo show? Squadron.
I would be happy.
I
think we should do an RV.
I'll do it. Oh, I mean, if you guys don't mind sleeping all in the same bed.
Yeah. But, who says no? Two to a bed.
Ooh. Who says no evolved?
There's so many ways I can go with it. I'm not going to. I will. I'll put it this way: if you guys, here's what I will say to you: if you guys want to stay in one hotel room and do a podcast in the hotel room, if you want to stay, I will put you guys up. I will buy that hotel room for you in Springfield. So there you go, Coop. You take the point on that.
I'll be the producer on this one.
Well, you're going to be the host because I'm not going to be there. So, all right.
Yeah, we can zoom you in. You don't want to be pay witness to that.
I do. Believe me, I want to be there. I just have other commitments going on.
I want to be with four dudes.
It's going to be a Zoom call. The four of us in matching pajamas, and then Rob on the other screen.
Come on. I mean, isn't it all about content? So
it is. I'm a very big fan of this idea.
I am too. I just paid $300 for a uniform for my Hall of Fame ballot reveal. So if it's content, I'm paying for it. So there you go.
You got to have like some type of heist to get that jersey back. You got to have some story behind it.
We can talk more about that after 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
All right. All right. I'm excited for that.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.